All right, well, we're in here on week 5 from our series Passover to Pentecost. That means we're down to like 3 weeks left, I think. Is that right? Maybe I went 8 weeks with this. I don't remember. I think we got 3 more weeks because next week, I believe we're looking at the Ascension. The week after, I believe, is Mother's Day. And so we're talking about women and mothers when it came to the time between Passover and Pentecost and the role that they had. And then the Sunday after, we will wrap this up on Pentecost, obviously, because that will be Pentecost Sunday. Today, we're looking at the time that the disciples were waiting in Jerusalem. And there's maybe a question that we could start to ask when it comes to this. Why is it important for us to wait? Like, why? If we're going to be honest, we are all still children. We may not think that we're children. We may have added a few years to our lives. We may have a few extra gray hairs. We may also have some balding spots that are kicking. Our hair might be thinning out. The signs of wear and tear on our body are evident that we're not spring chickens anymore. But we're still children of God. And many of us still act like children. We act like children because we're impatient. Did you ever notice that with kids? And it's like the younger the kid is, the more impatient they are. Like they don't have a really large attention span. They want something and they want it now. They also become nags. Mom, 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 mom. I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. Why can't I have it? We do the same thing with God. God, why is it taking so long? God, can you hurry things along? God, can we just please? God, I think I've been waiting long enough here. Why is it important for us to wait? Because we all kind of struggle with these moments of waiting where we're dealing with impatience. And with the impatience winds up coming some anxiety because we want to believe that God is going to fulfill his promise to do what he said he's going to do, even though we don't see it. And then with some of that anxiety can come some of the doubt and the uncertainty. And all we're doing is like, we're just in this moment where we're longing and we're looking out for clarity. Like, okay, God, if I've got to wait, that's fine. But will you please tell me the exact date and time so I know how long I have to wait? Like, I mean, come on, that's Christianity when it comes to the return of Christ, the second coming. We're like, I think I know when it is. I think you're lying. Like, you don't know. Jesus says nobody knows. Jesus doesn't even know. He doesn't have the appointed time. The Father's the only one that has the appointed time. But we wonder and we wait and we're just looking for clarity on the fulfillment of God's promises. Each and every one of us have had these moments, big moments, small moments. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe it's working for the public school system that kind of taught me a little bit of a patience. They still operate like they're in the Stone Age when it comes to paying people. Like, I get where you have to work a full week before they pay you for that week. And I can kind of understand where you have to work 2 weeks and then they'll pay you on the next pay period. Like, even that I can kind of get. But a school system, at least ours, they pay monthly, which means you have to work an entire month before you can get paid the next month. But they don't pay on the first. They pay on like the last working day. So you can go 8 weeks before ever receiving a paycheck. Imagine waiting. Imagine the patience that takes. Now, did I wait patiently? No. Did I wait quietly? No. Because I grew up believing that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And if you don't know me very well, I can squeak a lot and I can squeak very loud. I might also be one of the only people that didn't have to wait that long for their first check because I squeaked so much. But I see all these others that are having to wait. And that's just for like a paycheck. Like, what about other things that we're waiting for? There are couples out there that have been dealing with infertility, and they have been waiting years, believing what God has spoken to them, what He has placed in their heart, that they're going to be mothers, that they're going to be fathers, and yet at the same time, they're struggling with this. And they're just waiting for the promise, waiting for God to come through. And that will lead us to this question of, why is it important for us to wait? Well, this morning, I believe if we look at some scripture, and if we look at the example of the disciples, we will not only learn why we need to wait, we will learn how we need to wait, and we will learn what to expect when we wait. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Acts chapter 1. Because in Acts chapter 1, as we're leading up to Pentecost, coming from Passover, we start to see one of these final things that Jesus winds up saying to the disciples. And He's giving them these last little, commands, these last little bit of instructions. And in Acts chapter 1, reading verse 4 and 5, it says, "And being assembled together with them, he is Jesus, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, He said, you have heard from Me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, I don't know about you, but when I read "not many days from now," I'm like, well, how many is not many? I'm a very analytical person. I want to know how many is not many. He doesn't tell them. He just says, "not many." Well, not many. What's many? I mean, to me, if I'm waiting for something like the Holy Spirit, that we're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you've been talking about this, many to me is like, I don't know, more than two. Like, I know that three would be technically considered a few, and like 5 to 7 might be considered several. But to me, what's many? And then the analytical brain of mine is like, not many. Okay, so what is many? Many could be 10. Ooh, wait, many could be 100. Oh, wait, many could be 1,000. Oh, wait, with God, a day is like 1,000, and 1,000 is like 1. So if He's saying not many days, is He talking about 1 or is He talking about 1,000 when it comes to days? Oh, what is not many? What is not many? I mean, who's defining many? Jesus is defining many. He's the one that used the word many, but I don't know what many means. And then the anxiety starts to increase. It's like when I've heard God speak things to me, to plant things on my heart, and it's like, "yeah, you're going to do this, but you didn't say when." I start to feel like a child. Yes, we're going to get this. We're going to go here. We're going to do that. Their first question is, okay, when? When I feel like it. You're on a need-to-know basis, and right now you don't need to know, because if I told you, you would be bugging me every single day. And then I start to realize, maybe that's why God doesn't tell us things. Because all we're going to do is keep bugging Him instead of trusting Him. And what are we called to do? To trust Him. The disciples, Jesus is saying, you need to wait. That's what He says in verse 4. Wait in the city. But why do we have to wait? Why do we have to wait? Why? Why can't we just have it now? Well, fortunately, there's some scriptures that give us some insights as to why we need to wait. Look at this in Psalm 27, verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Wait on the Lord. Why do we need to wait? Well, I don't know if you read that. He's going to strengthen your heart. Your heart, your inner being, who you are. He's going to give you strength, but that's only going to come if you're actually waiting on Him. How? Why? Why is that the case? Why do we have to wait? Because waiting requires you to put your trust in faith in God and His promises and His word. Waiting is an opportunity for each and every one of us to grow in perseverance. To persevere when times get hard, when things are difficult, when there are struggles. The perseverance is what we need. If you've been around on this earth long enough, you have understood that as we go along in years, the world doesn't seem to be getting too much better. They seem to be getting a little worse because they keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again, and they're all expecting a different result. And that can create some frustration in us. But in those moments of frustration, what we need is perseverance. And that's what waiting gives us the opportunity to grow in perseverance and to expect God's faithfulness. Because what are we going to do? He said, wait. I mean, He's God. He's the one that's going to deliver the answer and the fulfillment of His promise. It's not like we can do anything to nudge Him along a little bit faster. The only thing we might do by just nagging God is annoy Him. And I don't know, maybe there's a part of me being a father that comes directly from our Heavenly Father, but when kids start to annoy me and I've told them to wait, oh, you're going to wait a little bit longer. And why are you going to wait a little bit longer? Because you need to have patience. You need to understand it's not about you. You need to understand you're the child, I'm the dad, and what I say goes. And then I think about that when it comes to our Heavenly Father, and I'm like, ooh, I should probably stop nagging Him. He might just be making me wait a little bit more. Because all He told me to do was wait. Wait, I say. It doesn't. That word, wait, is not spelled N-A-G. He's not saying nag, I say. He's saying wait, I say. Why? Because it strengthens us. In Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, you might be familiar with this one. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Wait. And why? To renew our strength. Waiting not only will strengthen our hearts, it's renewing the strength that we have in the heart. I love how the Amplified Classic tells this one. It says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for and hope in Him shall change. Shall change. What? Because we're not nagging, we're waiting. We're not a nagger, we're a waiter. We will wait and renew their strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles. Mount up into the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Or become tired of waiting. God, I'm tired of waiting. Well, wait some more and you'll stop being tired of waiting. Practice makes perfect. Be a perfect waiter. Just keep waiting. You need the strength. You need the power to wait. You need the strength. You need the power to survive. And what God is doing in that time of waiting, when He is allowing us, catch this, He is allowing us the opportunity to depend on His timing, to depend on His provision, and what He is doing with this allowance to let us wait on Him is He is leading us into a spiritual renewal and strength that we need to grow in Him. Waiting, we think about waiting and we're like, oh, well, waiting is just some laid-back kind of attitude. I'm just supposed to be quiet. I'm just supposed to have this mood of like, oh, whatever. That's what waiting is. That's what we think waiting is. That's not what it is. Waiting is not passive. Waiting is a posture of faith to renew your strength. It's your posture. How are you waiting? By faith, standing firm on the promises of God, making sure that I truly believe Him and I believe what He says, and I'm not going to budge and I'm not going to move from this. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. I'm not asking any questions about it. I'm waiting by faith. I live by faith, I walk by faith, I wait by faith. Waiting is a posture of faith that renews your strength. And the disciples, they understood why they needed to wait. They understood why they needed to wait. Jesus gave them a heads up. Before He says, hey, you need to wait in Jerusalem, He gave them a little other piece of information. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49, He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, that means to wait, in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That word endued in the Greek, it means to be clothed, to be covered with power from on high, power from heaven. And why were they being told this? Because they were about to go out and continue His ministry. Each and every one of us, like for some reason, we sit there and we think, oh, well, we've got our own personal ministry. Yes and no. Even your personal ministry is just an extension of Jesus's ministry. We are to go in His name. We are to continue the work that He began to do. So all we're doing is fulfilling what He did. And my, are those some big shoes to fill. Like, John the Baptist may have had it right. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals, let alone walk in them. But Jesus says we're going to be going and doing this. The only way that we could do this is with power, with strength, and to be covered and clothed and endued with the same power that He was. Jesus, Acts 10 tells us, Jesus of Nazareth, anointed with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. We're supposed to be continuing that work, but the only way we can continue it is with power. And the disciples understood that. They knew that it was essential for them to wait, because if they didn't wait, they wouldn't receive. They had to wait. If they didn't wait, they couldn't be empowered. They couldn't be endued with power. They knew why to wait. They knew this is an opportunity for us to trust in God's faithfulness and to receive His promise. So we are going to take a posture of faith and we are going to renew our strength. They understood why we wait. And if we can understand that, well, then that just leads us to, fine, I understand why we need to wait. God's promised me things. I've been waiting on them. I get it. I need to wait, because if I wait, I'll actually receive it. If I don't wait, I won't be in the posture, in the stance, in the position to actually receive from Him, because I'll be wandering off when He told me to stay still. I'm bringing it. Just wait for me. We're going to get an undeliverable if we don't wait. Okay, I get it. We got to wait. But how? And by how, I don't mean some theoretical how. I want practical information, Pastor. Give me practical advice. How do I actually wait? I don't want to leave here today with you just giving me a bunch of platitudes. Tell me how. Specifically, how do I wait? Okay. Psalm chapter 37, verse 7, out of the New Living Translation, be still. We could probably just stop there.
Yeah.
Be still. Don't be fidgety. Don't be running around all over the place. Be still in the presence of the Lord. There's the key. Because I'm not talking about, okay, just stay right where you're at in that pew and don't leave here. That's not what He means by be still. He's saying, stay in my presence and wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry. about evil people who prosper or fret about the wicked schemes. The Amplified Bible tells it this way. It says, "Be still before the Lord, wait patiently for Him, and trust yourself in Him. Don't fret. Don't whine. Don't agonize." That one doesn't even have it. Nancy, what have we got going on here? They've got a mistranslation in our Bible app. Look it up on your Bible app. Don't fret, don't whine, don't agonize because of him who prospers this way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. I love that because too many of us have not been waiters, we've been whiners. Well, I want it. Why do I have to wait? Why do I have to wait? And this is even, it gets even worse for us. Like, it would be one thing if we would be fretting because of like the evildoers that are out there. But no, we're fretting and we're whining and we're agonizing over the faithful people that are getting the prosperity out there. Why does that believer get his prayers answered? Why does she always seem to get the promises fulfilled? Why don't I? Were you waiting? Well, of course I was waiting. Were you waiting patiently? Well, I don't know. Like, that's what we do. Here's the thing. With waiting, to practically wait, to wait in the presence of the Lord, to wait on the Lord, practically what you have to do is you have to give Him your anxieties. You have to surrender your anxieties. You have to surrender your desires to God. I want it and I want it now. No, you don't. Surrender that to God. You don't want it now. You want it when God wants you to have it. Why? Because His timing is perfect. Your timing is poor. You don't want it on your time. If it's on your time, it's not going to be perfect. Surrender those anxieties. And waiting also, it involves truly seeking His will and cultivating a heart of patience. And there are so many of us that, like, we've prayed for patience because we struggle with patience. We're like, God, I need more patience. You know how to get more patient? Learn how to be patient. If I want to be the best basketball player in the world, it doesn't come from just looking at the balls and looking at the net. No, it comes from taking thousands upon thousands of shots. It comes from training hard. If you want to be good at patience, train yourself in patience. And we don't realize that God understands that, and that's why we struggle with impatience. God keeps testing our patience. He keeps putting us in trials for our patience. Why? We asked Him to. Why else? Because love is patient, and God is love. And He understands that if we truly want to be like Him and to be loving like Him, it starts with patience. And if you don't understand that, then you need to wrap your mind around the fact that God was patient with each and every one of us, that He was long-suffering, and He waited. And He's still waiting for all rebellious, unrepentant sinners to come back to Him. Thank God that He is patient. Thank God He is love. And now He's giving us an opportunity to do that. Okay, Pastor, I get that. But still, that's not practical. Give me practical. How do I surrender my anxieties to Him? How do I surrender my will to Him? How do I surrender my desires and surrender all of these worries? How do I stop worrying? Good question. Philippians 4:6 out of the New Living. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. When you feel the worry, pray. When you feel the anxiety, pray. When you're waiting and it's not patient, but it's impatient, pray. Why? Your prayer is talking to the one that you're waiting on. You're praying to Him. It is getting your mind, your heart, your soul, your spirit, every part of you focused on Him, not focused on your present situation. You pray about it. You pray. The disciples understood this. They understood that we needed to pray. They understood that we needed to seek him. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says that these all continued with one accord. That is not a Honda vehicle. One accord means being in unity. All in unity. They continued with unity in what? In prayer and supplications, in request. They continued in prayer. When did they do this? This is Acts 1:14. This is right after we just read Acts 1:4 and 5, when he says, wait for the promise. So what did they do? They continued with a united front to pray. The women, Mary, with all the brothers, everybody, they waited by praying. In Lamentations 3, verse 25 and 26, it says that the Lord is good to those who wait and to the soul who seeks him. I like it out of the New Living Translation as well, because that one actually says those who search for him. You're waiting. You're trying to wait patiently. How do you wait? Look for God. Stop looking for the gift. Look for the giver. Look for the giver. Okay. This is going to be way too practical, and you guys, I don't know if you're going to catch this, but please hear this for a second. Anybody ever ordered anything off of like Amazon Prime? If you have, we do this all the time. The other day, we ordered dog treats. We're trying to train the dogs not to bark when people come through the door or they ring the doorbell, and saw some dog trainer on TikTok or something, and they're like, hey, all you got to do is just retrain behavior. So, okay, we're going to order dog treats. Well, we went into the store and we bought some, and they're a little hard, and the dogs are getting old and they're missing some teeth, and it's like, we need some soft treats. But our dogs also have bougie food. Because when I have a certain diet, my dogs are going to have a certain diet. And if I just think about it, like I don't know if wild animals are running out there and eating a lot of corn when it's up on the stalks. Like, I'm thinking about dogs, and they got these teeth that are named after them called canines. They're really sharp. They're not meant for chewing corn off the cob. They're not meant for grains. They're meant for non-grain type food. They're meant for meats, maybe some fruits, stuff that would be on the ground where they're at that maybe would fall out of a tree. Or just a rabbit running across. Let's get it. Let's eat it. So when I order my dog's food or treats, I'm looking for grain-free. I found some. Amazon Prime. It's like $5 for like a pound and a half of these little things. So much cheaper than anything in town. And if I ordered in the next 4 hours and 25 minutes, it would show up tomorrow. So you know what I did? I ordered it. And then you know what I was doing? You know what I wasn't doing? I wasn't standing outside of my house in the front door staring at the mailbox, waiting for it to appear. No. I pulled up the Amazon Prime app and I was looking for the delivery driver. I was not looking for what I was getting. I was looking for the one who was bringing what I was getting. When we are waiting for God to give us the promises, stop looking for the promise. Start looking for the one giving the promise. Don't look for the gift, look for the giver. And when your eyes are focused on him, you know where he's at. And if he's not frantic about things, there's no reason for you to be frantic. And when I looked and it says, okay, the Amazon delivery driver is 7 stops away. I'm like, oh, he'll be here in a little bit. No big deal. Well, then I just stopped looking at the app and I just started looking out the window. When it comes to looking for God, it's not going to tell us, and he's not going to tell us when he's 7 stops away. But what he will remind us of is that all of his promises are yes and amen, that he is faithful, that he is true. So practically, search for him. Don't search for the promise. Don't search for the thing you're waiting for. Search for him. Look for him. How do you do that? Get in his word. He's leaping off of every single one of these pages. Get to know him better, because the more you get to know him, the more you'll realize that he is faithful and always has been and always will be. And then it's easier to be patient when waiting for him. So we pray and we seek him. And yes, that's exactly what the disciples knew. They knew how to. Why? Because he said, "Wait for me." Wait in Jerusalem. They knew there's a reason that God told me to be in a certain place, because that's where he's going to show up. If God has told us to be still, maybe we should be still. And if he told us to be still in his presence, maybe when we're waiting, we should be waiting in his presence. So don't get out of the presence of God. Stay put in the presence of God. And when you're waiting and struggling with impatience, seek him. Pray. That's what we do. We understand why. We understand how. But what should we expect when we're waiting? James 5, verse 7 and 8. Therefore be patient. Man, it's that word again. Until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. What should we expect? Expect the fulfillment of the promise. Expect the realization of God's plans and God's purposes in your life. When you are waiting in him, you expect that what he said was going to happen is actually going to be happen. In the same way that a farmer understands, if I have good ground and I plant good seed and there's a good rain, I get a good harvest. Simple. They understand that concept. This happens. Now, if any one of those things doesn't happen, I'm not necessarily going to expect it. I don't know what's going to happen. But what are we thinking about when it says to establish our hearts? In verse 8, when it says establish those hearts, how do we do that? Make sure that the heart is good ground. Just like the farmer has to start with good ground. How do we make sure our heart is good ground? We put our trust in him and we seek after his word. Why do we seek after his word? Because his word is good seed. And when good seed gets planted in a good ground and it receives some good rain, what is the good rain? The latter and the former, it's the Holy Spirit enduing us with power and giving us what we need to wait. And when the good ground has the good seed and a good rain, you best believe there's a good harvest. When God has told us something, when he has spoken something, when he is giving us a promise, receive it. Let his word come inside you. Hold on to that. Don't spit it out. Don't let the lies of the enemy come in and choke that seed. Keep it there. Establish that heart. Cultivate a good heart. And let God continue to just wash over that word by seeking him and by praying him. And what you can expect is everything that God said to come true will come true. Romans chapter 8, verse 25. Look at this out of the New Living real quick. Romans 8, 25. But if we look forward to something that we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. This whole thing about Romans 8, what he's talking about is our hope. Our hope. If we already have the thing that we hope for, we don't have hope. Like, the three things that remain for us are faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. We've talked about faith. We've talked about love. We got to have some hope. And that hope is looking for the thing that we don't yet have. What are we ultimately all hoping for? The return of Christ. The promise that when he comes back, those that remain and are alive, we're going to be caught up with him. And those that died in Christ, they're going to be caught up too. And we're going to reign forever. Like, that's our ultimate hope. It's going to be a big old party. No sadness, no tears, no worry, no fears, nothing bad. It's all good. That's where our hope is. But we don't have the reality of that. And because we don't have the reality, the only thing we have is the hope. But what do we have to do with that? Wait patiently and wait confidently. How do we wait confidently? Understanding and expecting that God is always faithful to his word. He's not a man that he should lie. And he doesn't play favorites. If he's done it for one, he'll do it again. And if he's done something for you in the past, he'll do it again. Because great is his faithfulness. I have hope. You have hope. We all have hope. So be patient, be confident, and expect God to come through. Expect God's blessings. Expect the manifestation of His promise. Expect the manifestation of His plan. But expect it to be manifested and to become real in His timing. The disciples understood what to expect. They understood, we're going to expect that whatever God says is true and we're going to get it. How many times did they see Jesus do miracles? How many times did they see people ask Jesus for things? And what does He do? He gives them. Think about the times that the disciples are walking with Him and He just curses a fig tree that doesn't give Him fruit. And what happens? They come back around and it's withered up and dead. It didn't happen right there, but it happened according to His word. Imagine all these disciples that knew what to expect, because when Jesus says, hey, come out, Peter, on the water and walk to me, Peter starts walking on water. Whatever God says will happen, because His word is always true. They understood this. They understood that Jesus was their example. And yet Jesus placed His faith in the Father. Jesus placed His faith in His word. Jesus placed His faith in the promises. We think that we're waiting for things. What about the patience of Jesus to wait? We start this series going Passover to Pentecost. Jesus, He's expecting that when He goes up on that cross and He's crucified and He dies, He's going into a tomb, and He expects in 3 days He's up out of that tomb walking around. He expects that. And what happened when He expected it? He got it. Because God told Him, this is what's going to happen. And He took the Father at His word. And that was the example that the disciples had. And that's the example that we have. That's the example that we have. That we, just like Jesus, and we, just like the disciples, have to put our faith in God. We have to put our faith in God's word. And we have to put our faith in God's promise. And faith is a posture. It is a posture that renews our strength. That's what we do. We stand firm in faith. Faith in God, faith in His word, faith in His promises. I hope that we start to understand this, because I know that there are things that we're all waiting for. Things that we have been waiting for. And if you're not waiting for something right now, I don't know. You can say this is prophetic, or maybe this is just observant. You're going to be waiting for something before too long. Because if God isn't giving you something right now, He's about to. And if you're seeking Him and you're staying in His presence, He's going to tell you what you're about to get. And then there are some of us that we're waiting at home and we're like, God, just speak to me. God, just speak to me. But then we come to church on a Sunday morning and we're not asking God to speak to us. And yet sometimes through these very sermons that we hear, God is already speaking something to you. He's telling you what He wants to give you. Make sure we're open. Make sure we're receptive. Make sure that we have that posture of faith that renews our strength. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.